Ashtar, I think perhaps you also, in the Generals or Expresses, have mentioned that there are many universes and each has a god. And I think it was Ashtar who said, in our universe, the god is Sananda. Would you please comment on this?
I don't comment on Ashtar. I make Ashtar come and comment on his own problems. Sananda is not a label, Precious. Sananda is a game, a state of being. I will say this. Had the master teacher, and there was great consideration of birthing him in Egypt. Had he been birthed in Egypt, he would automatically have been called Sananda. As an honorary name, that would have been his name, just like you call Robert Bob. You have a situation here where Sananda itself in the ancient languages simply means God, and that is a state of being, and this is what is happening with this Christ. He is coming into, after serving in his lessons all of these eons of what you perceive as time, he has walked through sequence of dimensions and comes into this status, if you will, of being one with Creator, one with God. And that term, just like the path of goodness is called Christness in the English language, Sananda means God.
And Aton also means God.
Well, that's a little bit different. It does, yes, but it means the one lighted source. And given particular attention to Shan, or the sun planet, the sun or the orbiting, what we call the sun, or the sun galaxy. All the galaxies have suns, if you will. But this one you recognize more as your life source coming from the sun. And that means the one light. And you will have these energies functioning all about the universe. But especially as planets fall into problems, serious evolutions of cycles or cyclic changes, graduation, if you will, God shows up. It always happens. Always the planets will refer to it as the return of God.
So, when we read in the Liberators or the Journal something attributed to Sananda, is it correct then to feel that we are reading the written words that are coming directly from God?
Yes.
And is this same true of Aton as it affects then Earth?
No. There is no separation. Keep in mind your illusion, and all things are one. Now, tuck it way back there, because I know you don't comprehend it, and don't struggle with it. But there are aspects, there are fragments, there are projections in myriads of experiences. And the Christ being, having experienced, has come into total perfection and is now recognized as Sananda, which is a state of godness. And to shorten it, to ease it down, it would be like Dad would say Christ to his son, regardless of what his name is. And he is recognized, and the new name, quote, in the Bible, he will come bearing a new name. That is the name. That is the recognition of this energy coming back again. He doesn't say he comes to claim the planet. He said, I come to reclaim my Father's kingdom. So that tells you that there is at least one still making rules a little bit higher.
Okay, when we read things in the journals, the expresses, and the liberators that come under Hatan, does this information go through a consciousness, a filtering system, if you would, such as as we have, our filtering system?
Only to this extent. You see, each of you, each fragment, either accepts, projects, becomes a functioning entity. Now you have become Susie. And so everything that you do in your physicalness is filtered through your consciousness and is impacted by your subconscious habits that requires that you act in given ways. But that's still a part of the physical. You are simply experiencing. You are experiencing according to the limitations placed upon you in that dimension or this particular compression. Everything is compression. If you remove the compression, you would explode. Everything bursts. Everything is trying to get loose. So compression holds you together. This is all in the Pleiades connections. This is all explained very succinctly, very clearly. Now that's the physical aspect of it. You agreed to come to this place to serve in this capacity, limited by the third dimensional consciousness. Hatan chose to serve as a fourth dimensional energy, as a space commander in charge of a massive operation, partly to function more closely in the human form to experience as you experience, to see what steps need to be taken in between. The difference that I have is that I know. I choose to limit my knowledge so that I do not represent something so far distant from you that you cease to function. So when I come as Hatan, I am coming as a fourth dimensional captain of a craft in command of a project. And I'm coming on a mission. Fourth dimensional means, and this is what happens with Pleiades, and which becomes confusing to you. I am an etheric being. I can be either. The higher teachers of Pleiades are etheric. That means thought transference, thought transportation. I can get anything into your realm as fast as I can think. Most of the ships and craft do not have that capability on board. And therefore you have the separation. In my higher form, I'm Hatan. I don't need to explain it further than that because it's just going to be confusing. I will write as Hatan. If I wish to express myself as Hatan, I will tell you so. Either at the beginning of my dissertation or when I close. And most of you will not know exactly when that transition took place except Dorma. One's in the presence, In this room, for instance, if I choose to put on my Atom hat, the energy gets pretty incredible in this room. So I don't know how to express it more honestly to you.
Well, thank you for that explanation. Bill has a question, and then I have a couple more.
I would hear.
Yes, Anton, I read with great interest in one of the in the newsletters, the origins of the Protocols of Zion, very interesting document. I wonder if you could elaborate on that and the relationship to the Illuminati, relationship to the Jewish people in general, and do you think the protocols go back more than 100 years? Can you tell us about that?
Oh, yes. Yes, they go back about as long as you have history. They were not called that in the communist. If you would read the Communist Manifesto or even the fascist, the Nazi rules, you will find them to be very similar. The Protocols of Zion are basically the group of elders who literally wrote the Talmud. Out of the Talmud came the protocols. And it is simply a blueprint for global control. And it is a very good blueprint. They have followed it very, very carefully. They have never lost sight of it. You will have what the Judeans, or the Judaists, the original Hebrews, believed or followed what was called the Torah. I'm not going to get into the history of the Torah, but you see, along came the Zionists, and they wrote the Talmud. And that's what you are experiencing now in the Zionist movement, is the Talmudic Kabbalism. Kabbalism, you know, a higher manipulation. There was never any suggestion that any of this came from Jehovah or a higher God. They called themselves the serpent people. They labeled themselves this. And these protocols are written by the ancient men of wisdom, Zionist elders. That's what they were called. And they became known publicly before the turn of your century, this last century. It was time for them to come forth. And you will have a great denial of them, but anyone who has access to the Talmud knows of their authenticity. And the best you will get from these ones in denial is that they are forgeries. Well, precious ones, forgery means a copy of something that exists. It exists. The point is, these ones are not Judaeus, they are not Hebrew, they do not come from that lineage. You have been fooled.
I have a question.
Nora here has a question. Let's hear it.
About the serpent people. The son of Jacob, named Dan, who had the tribe of Dan, one of their symbols was a serpent. Is that tribe connected with the serpent people?
Yes. Very, very definitely.
They would not know the question.
Did you hear the question?
We can't hear it from this end.
All right. She asked about the tribe of Dan. That is a tribe of Israel. And they took the symbol of the serpent. And she asked if there was a connection. And I said yes. You will find, as you study the tribe of Dan, that it is a very, very Well, once again, I'm forced to use your term satanic element. You see, these ones scattered about the place. And they have always followed a particular pattern of behavior, exactly as they have in Israel. You see, they come claiming their desire to rebuild the temple. What are they going to do in the temple? They're going to go back to blood sacrifice, burnt offerings. They make no bones about telling you that. And they want to slay the ones who have the mosque there. Number one, that is not the place of the original temple. Number two, to sacrifice anything in your stead for your sins is the lie. You can't murder something to cleanse self. You have only increased your sin. So you must think on these things that are told to you. Is that logical? Is that reasonable? We are talking about God of light, and he would take the life of an animal or a man to resolve my sin? I think not. Neither would God put Israel in the middle of Palestine and deprive those ones of their life and property. It just wouldn't happen. So you have to be reasonable. All you have to do to know is read the laws. They're pretty good. There are only 10 of them. And then the best one is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That is a good rule of thumb. And I don't think murder is one of them that you'd like done unto you, nor burned on an altar for someone else's sin. Reason, that's all you need. 10 guidelines and reason. And know always that through error, there's instant forgiveness. You've made no sin. An error is what sin is. Evil is the falling short of perfection. Anything that takes you spiritually in a direction away from truth, light, the Word, and God. And it may be very, very evil, or just a little bit evil, because there are varying and sundry degrees of error. But don't get hung up on sin. This is kind of interesting. Pleiadians don't use the term sin. In my dimension, we don't talk of sin. There's lack of knowledge. That's all there is. And there is action either in knowledge or lack of it. Will there be more? Are you worn out with enough to think about? You know, we can do this another day too.
Hallelujah. At times, you and Dharma have made a noble effort to enlighten us today. I have many questions that I didn't touch upon, and I'm not going to, but I do have this request. There are a number of us who have discussed what we've read, and we are confused about all the major players and factions, you know, among the human adversaries. Sometimes you use elite or cartel or globalist or what have you. We don't know if you're always referring to the same group. Would it be possible for you to publish some sort of a diagram of who the major players are? And, pardon me? Yeah. Well, apparently that would be just going to be a 300. I've ordered it, but it's not...
It's at the printers.
Right.
It will be out very soon, and it has diagrams, and it has names.
So would that take care of putting the Bilderbergers into place, and the Freemasons, and the CIA / KGB / Mossad?
No, it isn't that simple to put it all in one volume, because it would be like 5,000 pages. So that's not practical. I am at this point working on the CIA that will enlighten you as to its position now and its integration with the you see, there are more KGB agents, Soviet agents, in the CIA, your Central Intelligence Surveillance Group, than there are Americans. You have to know that. And the CIA is only a minor part of the entire overall intelligence organizations in your country and in your government and military. So yes, we are breaking them down. The Conspirators Committee of 300 will be listed by name. We are listing and drawing you diagrams. We've already given you the Illuminati and the Masonic Orders, and Dr. Coleman is in the process of writing as fast as he can from security documents, etc. He has 5 volumes coming. That means 1 in publication right now and 4 more.
Okay, well, that should probably clarify a lot of our questions about... Yeah.
It is hard, and it appears to change every day. Let me warn you about it. It doesn't matter who they appear to be. You can nail the adversary by his lack of godness, by the way he pushes, by the clandestine operations, and by the pulling away from the Constitution. And because it looks like they're at war, forget it. They're only vying for top position right now. They're vying for the power right now.
So then there really isn't any pinnacle of power. The one who, say, manipulates Kissinger and the Rockefellers, and the Rockefeller-Robotoids.
Well, you have this group of some 300 people. And yes, there is a pinnacle.
And the group of 300 then is the pinnacle.
Well, it's the highest operating group on your place.
And they are all puppets of the satanic forces.
Well, they are the satanic forces.
Well, they are the satanic forces. Okay.
And you're going to find everything, unfortunately for you ones, no matter how you work these circles, you're going to find always it comes back to England. It may go all the way around the globe, through Africa, around the Antarctic and the Arctic, through Russia, always comes back to England. It's a good game. Stick with us. It's unfolding.
How about the White Russians with the Privet and the 5,000 officer corps of the Russians who control the cosmosphere? Are they also included in this, or are they basically adversaries of...
No, they are adversaries of the adversary. They're your friends.
Not necessarily our friends.
No, they're pretty much your friends. You're going to be surprised from whence comes your help.
So the Russian military then are in charge of the cosmosphere?
I'm not going to get into that. I will say that the Soyuz and Pamyet still have control of the cosmospheres. And yet there's a lot of hostage work going on. So there's a lot of power plays being made.
Who devised the Plan 2000, the Committee of 300?
Yes.
Pardon me?
Yes. You've had this hierarchy ever since creation, Precious.
Oh. I see. Yes. Satan. In short.
Satan was bound to a physical plane. That's a more fun subject, but I'm not going to get into it here. But spiritual evolution and what happened in the heavens, if you will, and evil energy forms. You have to realize what is meant by the pits and what binds, physical binds. And yet all of you are terrified to make that transition, but you see, you are in prison. Freedom comes with a release from this. You're on a prison planet. You can't get off. You're bound. You can go up, but you have to come back. You can't exist out in space. You don't have the facilities. At the most, anyone from your place, even in the cosmospheres that are quite sophisticated now for your place and for your technology, cannot exist out there very long. You are bound to that planet.
Why was a planet that was a paradise given to be a prison planet?
It was a paradise, and you made it that.
It was populated as a prison planet. That loaded the odds against us from the beginning.
Is that a question, Precious?
Well, it's sort of a statement from somebody who's very ignorant.
To pits, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, what else do you have to do? What else wondrous would you be doing? Tell me, Susie, what would you be doing if it were not this way?
I don't know. I think I'd like to have an idea, though.
No, you wouldn't, because you could be the walking dead, and you choose to be doing this. You see, everybody has a choice. Why did you choose to do this?
I keep asking myself that.
Well, I go back to the same old thing. You just don't remember that you volunteered.
Well, I'm accepting that because you say so.
Right. That's why I said it.
I had time. Thank you, Dharma. I'm sorry. We have still another question.
One quick question.
You'll have to speak up. We have giggling ones here.
I was at a meeting about a month ago, and Ralph Steiner was speaking, among other things, robotoids that are being manufactured underground and near to Ashby, whatever. And I brought up the one of the liberators showing that you had mentioned that the robotoids are basically being manufactured and controlled by our government. And Steiner was saying that yes, there are robotoid aliens coming in, but they are basically controlling the government. So we had kind of a reverse. And so I showed the liberator, and I got a lot of flack from the people in the meeting.
I bet.
As the flack was going on, I had a distinct buzz in my right ear, and I immediately flashed on what George said back in Berkeley. He said, if you'll notice, do you hear a sound in your anywhere? You're right here. And I said, at the time, I said, yeah. Now, my question is, was that same thing happening? Were you all around that meeting? Or is that just maybe an allergy or something like that?
No, we make most all the meetings.
I'm sorry?
We make most all the meetings, and many times we are seen.
And that's what I thought, because it was a distinct, just to my right ear, it was a bzzz. At the very time I was being attacked by those hostile people.
Well, and now I realize, I think I told you I didn't know who that was. Yes, I do know who that is. And there's a lot of very good fact that Steiner gives, but he gets right back on to the little gray alien kick and your government held hostage. Now, I'm going to have to remind you of something. I'm going to say again, you have no enemies from outer space. Nobody on your planet has an enemy really from outer space, because all know that no space command is going to do anything. We wait for this to evolve. There are some areas of action that we may take. I won't bother you to repeat them all right here.
Excuse me.
Just a minute. We have another technological problem here with the tape. I don't comment on Ashtar. I make Ashtar come and comment on his own problems. Sananda is not a label, Precious. Sananda is a game, a state of being. I will say this. Had the master teacher, and there was great consideration of birthing him in Egypt. Had he been birthed in Egypt, he would automatically have been called Sananda. As an honorary name, that would have been his name, just like you call Robert Bob. You have a situation here where Sananda itself in the ancient languages simply means God, and that is a state of being, and this is what is happening with this Christ. He is coming into, after serving in his lessons all of these eons of what you perceive as time, he has walked through sequence of dimensions and comes into this status, if you will, of being one with Creator, one with God. And that term, just like the path of goodness is called Christness in the English language, Sananda means God.
And Aton also means God.
Well, that's a little bit different. It does, yes, but it means the one lighted source. And given particular attention to Shan, or the sun planet, the sun or the orbiting, what we call the sun, or the sun galaxy. All the galaxies have suns, if you will. But this one you recognize more as your life source coming from the sun. And that means the one light. And you will have these energies functioning all about the universe. But especially as planets fall into problems, serious evolutions of cycles or cyclic changes, graduation, if you will, God shows up. It always happens. Always the planets will refer to it as the return of God.
When we read in the Liberators or the Journal something attributed to Sananda, is it correct then to feel that we are reading the written words that are coming directly from God?
Yes.
And is the same true of Aton as it affects then Earth?
No. There is no separation. Keep in mind your illusion, and all things are one. Now, tuck it way back there, because I know you don't comprehend it and don't struggle with it. But there are aspects, there are fragments, there are projections in myriads of experiences. And the Christ being, having experienced, has come into total perfection and is now recognized as Sananda, which is a state of godness. And to shorten it, to ease it down, it would be like Dad would say Christ to his son, regardless of what his name is. And he is recognized, and the new name, quote, in the Bible, he will come bearing a new name. That is the name, that is the recognition of this energy coming back again. He doesn't say he comes to claim the planet. He said, I come to reclaim my Father's kingdom. So that tells you that there is at least one still making rules a little bit higher.
Okay, when we read things in the journals, the expresses, and the liberators that come under Hatan, does this information go through a consciousness, a filtering system, if you would, such as as we have, our filtering system?
Only to this extent. You see, each of you, each fragment, either accepts, projects, becomes a functioning entity. Now you have become Susie. And so everything that you do in your physicalness is filtered through your consciousness and is impacted by your subconscious habits that requires that you act in given ways. But that's still a part of the physical. You are simply experiencing. You are experiencing according to the limitations placed upon you in that dimension or this particular compression. Everything is compression. If you remove the compression, you would explode. Everything bursts. Everything is trying to get loose. So compression holds you together. This is all in the Pleiades connections. This is all explained very succinctly, very clearly. Now that's the physical aspect of it. You agreed to come to this place to serve in this capacity, limited by the third dimensional consciousness. Hatan chose to serve as a fourth dimensional energy, as a space commander in charge of a massive operation, partly to function more closely in the human form, to experience as you experience, to see what steps need to be taken in between. The difference that I have is that I know, I choose to limit my knowledge so that I do not represent something so far distant from you that you cease to function. So when I come as Hatan, I am coming as a fourth dimensional captain of a craft in command of a project. And I'm coming on a mission. Fourth dimensional means, and this is what happens with Pleiades, and which becomes confusing to you. I am an etheric being. I can be either. The higher teachers of Pleiades are etheric. That means thought transference, thought transportation. I can get anything into your realm as fast as I can think. Most of the ships and craft do not have that capability on board. And therefore you have the separation. In my higher form, I'm Matan. I don't need to explain it further than that because it's just going to be confusing. I will write as Hatan. If I wish to express myself as Atan, I will tell you so. Either at the beginning of my dissertation or when I close. And most of you will not know exactly when that transition took place, except Dorma. One's in the presence, in this room, for instance, if I choose to put on my Atan hat, the energy gets pretty incredible in this room. So I don't know how to express it more honestly to you.
Well, thank you for that explanation. Bill has a question, and then I have a couple more.
I would hear.
Hinton, I read with great interest in one of the newsletters the origins of the protocols of Zion. Very interesting document. I wonder if you could elaborate on that as a relationship to the Illuminati, relationship to the Jewish people in general. And you think the protocols go back more than 100 years? Can you tell us about that?
Oh yes, they go back about as long as you have history. They were not called that in the communist. If you would read the Communist Manifesto or even the fascist, the Nazi rules, you will find them to be very similar. The Protocols of Zion are basically the group of elders who literally wrote the Talmud. Out of the Talmud came the protocols. And it is simply a blueprint for global control. And it is a very good blueprint. They have followed it very, very carefully. They have never lost sight of it. You will have what the Judeans, or the Judaists, the original Hebrews, believed or followed what was called the Torah. I'm not going to get into the history of the Torah, but you see, along came the Zionists, and they wrote the Talmud. And that's what you are experiencing now in the Zionist movement, is the Talmudic Kabbalism. Kabbalism, you know, a higher manipulation. There was never any suggestion that any of this came from Jehovah or a higher God. They called themselves the serpent people. They labeled themselves this. And these protocols are written by the ancient men of wisdom, Zionist elders. That's what they were called. And they became known publicly before the turn of your century, this last century. It was time for them to come forth. And you will have a great denial of them, but anyone who has access to the Talmud knows of their authenticity. And the best you will get from these ones in denial is that they are forgeries. Well, precious ones, forgery means a copy of something that exists. It exists. The point is, these ones are not Judaeus, they are not Hebrew, they do not come from that lineage. You have been fooled.
I have a question.
Nora here has a question. Let's hear it.
About the serpent people. The son of Jacob named Dan, who had the tribe of Dan, one of their symbols was a serpent. Is he connected, is that tribe connected with the serpent people?
Yes. Very, very definitely.
They would not know the question.
Did you hear the question?
We can't hear it from this end.
All right. She asked about the tribe of Dan. That is a tribe of Israel. And they took the symbol of the serpent. And she asked if there was a connection. And I said yes. You will find as you study the tribe of Dan that it is a very, very, well, once again, I'm forced to use your term satanic element. You see, these ones scattered about the place. And they have always followed a particular pattern of behavior, exactly as they have in Israel. You see, they come claiming their desire to rebuild the temple. What are they going to do in the temple? They're going to have go back to blood sacrifice, burnt offerings. They make no bones about telling you that. And they want to slay the ones who have the mosque there. Number one, that is not the place of the original temple. Number two, to sacrifice anything in your stead for your sins is the lie. You can't murder something to cleanse self. You have only increased your sin. So you must think on these things that are told to you. Is that logical? Is that reasonable? We are talking about God of light, and he would take the life of an animal or a man to resolve my sin? I think not. Neither would God put Israel in the middle of Palestine and deprive those ones of their life and property. It just wouldn't happen. So you have to be reasonable. All you have to do to know is read the laws. They're pretty good. There are only 10 of them. And then the best one is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That is a good rule of thumb. And I don't think murder is one of them that you'd like done unto you, nor burned on an altar for someone else's sin. Reason, that's all you need. 10 guidelines and reason. And know always that through error, there's instant forgiveness. You've made no sin. An error is what sin is. Evil is the falling short of perfection. Anything that takes you spiritually in a direction away from truth, light, the Word, and God. And it may be very, very evil, or just a little bit evil, because there are varying and sundry degrees of error. But don't get hung up on sin. This is kind of interesting. Pleiadians don't use the term sin. In my dimension, we don't talk of sin. There's a lack of knowledge. That's all there is. And there is action either in knowledge or lack of it. Will there be more? Are you worn out with enough to think about? You know, we can do this another day too.
Hallelujah. Yeah. And Tom, you and Dharma have made a noble effort to enlighten us today. I have many questions that I didn't touch upon, and I'm not going to, but I do have this request. There are a number of us who have discussed what we've read, and we are confused about all the major players and factions, you know, among the human adversaries. Sometimes you use the elite or cartel or globalists or what have you. We don't know if you're always referring to the same group. Would it be possible for you to publish some sort of a diagram of who the major players are?
Well, apparently that would be just Committee of 300.
I've ordered it, but it's not.
It's at the printers.
Right.
It will be out very soon, and it has diagrams and it has names.
So would that take care of putting the Bilderbergers into place and the Freemasons and the CIA/KGB/Mossad?
No, it isn't that simple to put it all in one volume, because it would be like 5,000 pages. So that's not practical. I am at this point working on the CIA that will enlighten you as to its position now and its integration with the you see, there are more KGB agents, Soviet agents in the CIA, your Central Intelligence Surveillance Group, than there are Americans. You have to know that.
Yes, well.
And the CIA is only a minor part of the entire overall intelligence organizations in your country and in your government and military. So yes, we are breaking them down. The Conspirators Committee of 300 will be listed by name. We are listing and drawing you diagrams. We've already given you the Illuminati and the Masonic Orders, and Dr. Coleman is in the process of writing as fast as he can from security documents, etc. He has 5 volumes coming. That means 1 in publication right now, and 4 more.
Okay, well, that should probably clarify a lot of our questions about, yeah.
It is hard, and it appears to change every day.
Uh-huh.
Let me warn you about it. It doesn't matter who they appear to be. You can nail the adversary by his lack of godness, by the way he pushes, by the clandestine operations, and by the pulling away from the Constitution. And because it looks like they're at war, forget it. They're only vying for top position right now. They're vying for the power right now.
So then there really isn't any pinnacle of power, the one who, say, manipulates Kissinger and the Rockefellers, the Rockefeller Robotoids.
Well, you have this group of some 300 people. And yes, there is a pinnacle.
The group of 300 then is the pinnacle.
Well, it's the highest operating group on your place.
And they are all puppets of the satanic forces.
Well, they are the satanic forces.
Well, they are the satanic forces. Okay.
And you're going to find everything, unfortunately for you ones, no matter how you work these circles, you're going to find always it comes back to England. It may go all the way around the globe, through Africa, around the Antarctic and the Arctic, through Russia, always comes back to England. It's a good game. Stick with us. It's unfolding.
How about the White Russians with the Pivet and the 5,000 officer corps of the Russians who control the cosmosphere? Are they also included in this, or are they basically adversaries of...
No, they are adversaries of the adversary. They're your friends.
Not necessarily our friends.
No, they're pretty much your friends. You're going to be surprised from whence comes your help.
So the Russian military then are in charge of the cosmosphere?
I'm not going to get into that. I will say that the Soyuz and Pamyet still have control of the cosmospheres. And yet there's a lot of hostage work going on. So there's a lot of power plays being made.
Who devised the Plan 2000? The Committee of 300?
Yes.
Pardon me?
Yes. You've had this hierarchy ever since creation, Precious.
Oh. I see. Satan. In short.
Satan was bound to a physical plane. That's a more fun subject, but I'm not going to get into it here. But spiritual evolution and what happened in the heavens, if you will, and evil energy forms. You have to realize what is meant by the pits. And what binds, physical binds. And yet all of you are terrified to make that transition, but you see, you are in prison. Freedom comes with the release from this. You're on a prison planet. You can't get off. You're bound. You can go up, but you have to come back. You can't exist out in space. You don't have the facilities. At the most, anyone from your place, even in the cosmospheres that are quite sophisticated now for your place and for your technology, cannot exist out there very long. You are bound to that planet.
Why would a planet that was a paradise given to be a prison planet?
It was a paradise and you made it that.
If it was populated as a prison planet, that loaded the odds against us from the beginning.
Is that a question, Precious?
Well, it's sort of a statement from somebody who's very ignorant.
It's a pits, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, what else do you have to do? What else wondrous would you be doing? Tell me, Susie, what would you be doing if it were not this way?
I don't know. I think I'd like to have an idea, though.
No, you wouldn't, because you could be the walking dead, and you choose to be doing this. You see, everybody has a choice. Why did you choose to do this?
I keep asking myself that.
Well, I go back to the same old thing. You just don't remember that you volunteered.
Well, I'm accepting that because you say so.
Right. That's why I said it.
I had time. Thank you, Dharma. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. We have still another question.
One quick question. George,
you'll have to speak up. We have giggling ones here.
I was at a meeting about a month ago, and Ralph Steiner was speaking, among other things, robotoids that are being manufactured underground and near Tehachapi, whatever. And I brought up the one of the liberators showing that you had mentioned that the robotoids are basically being manufactured and controlled by our government. And Steiner was saying... That yes, there are robotoid aliens coming in, but they are basically controlling the government, so we had kind of a reverse. So I showed the Liberator, and I got a lot of flack from the people in the meeting.
I bet.
As the flack was going on, I had a distinct buzz in my right ear, and I immediately flashed on what George said back in Berkeley. He said, if you'll notice, do you hear a sound in your anywhere, your right ear? And I said, at the time, I said, yeah. Now, my question is, was that same thing happening? Were you all around that meeting? Or is that just maybe an allergy or something like that?
No, we make most all the meetings.
I'm sorry?
We make most all the meetings, and many times we are seen.
And that's what I thought, because it was a distinct, just in my right ear, it was a bzzz. At the very time I was being attacked by those hostile people.
Well, and now I realize, I think I told you I didn't know who that was. Yes, I do know who that is. And there's a lot of very good fact that Steiner gives, but he gets right back on to the little gray alien kick and your government held hostage. Now, I'm going to have to remind you of something. I'm going to say again, you have no enemies from outer space. Nobody on your planet has an enemy really from outer space, because all know that no space command is going to do anything. We'll wait for this to evolve. There are some areas of action that we may take. And I won't bother you to repeat them all right here.
Excuse me.
Just a minute. We have another technological problem here with the tape.